CliffCentral.com. Welcome back to another episode of Unbranded, the show exploring the extraordinary link between human and brand behavior. I'm Timothy Maurice, and my passion is researching, unpacking, and sharing how brain and brand science impact you and our society as a whole. I'm extremely curious about how your story influences you and the entire social makeup. Thanks for subscribing to Unbranded on iTunes, as well as going to cliffcentral.com to listen and follow the show. I'm grateful for all our listeners from around the world who not only listen, but share with friends and colleagues. It really does mean a lot. I've been getting a lot of comments on the street, people bumping into me saying they really enjoyed it, and on social media as well. So you can follow me on Twitter at Timothy Maurice, and Timothy, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, on Instagram at Insta Timothy. And you can share your thoughts or give me concepts and ideas. In fact, this show is largely inspired by a friend who had a reputational issue. Their reputation was tarnished. And I'm going to get into the topic in a moment. So today I have an important show, as I said, a concept I have been researching for years. How do you restore your reputation? And why is it a reputation is so difficult to rebuild after it has been tarnished? This show will apply to relationships of all kinds, from personal relationships to public reputations, to even how you see yourself. How do you rebound after a stain has been put on your name? And I'm telling you, whether it's an incredible relationship where one person made a mistake and it seems to hover over, and the reputational damage seems to hover over the relationship, or you're a boss and you made one bad mistake and you need to rebuild your reputation, or maybe you're a public personality and you fumbled. Whoever you are, we all have a story and a reputation that impacts how people treat us. So I wanted to do a show to talk about specifically how do you rebound after your reputation has been tarnished. I've experienced this before in my own personal life. I experienced it in my career where I made a mistake and I needed to rebound. So this is not just a show for you. It's also a show for me. So have fun, sit back, and let's enjoy. Victorian author Samuel Butler said, "A reputation for 1,000 years may depend upon the conduct of a single moment. And it's the accumulation of these moments that make up your eventual legacy. Conversely, changing your brand's reputation will require new moments, ones which will provoke such an emotional response that people are thrilled to search for the memory key. It's not that people don't want to change their minds about you. They just want to know the effort is worth it." Listen to what Socrates, the great Greek philosopher, had to say. He says, "Regard your good name as the richest jewel you can possibly be possessed of, for credit is like fire. When once you have kindled it, if you may easily preserve it, but if you once extinguish it, you will find it an arduous task to rekindle it again." He says, "The way to gain a good reputation is to endeavor to be what you desire to appear." So as we go through this show, I want you to be thinking about, what do you really want out there? What is your highest ideal in terms of your reputation? And start thinking about, what are some of the things you've done? Maybe you've had one instance, or maybe you had a number of instances. That doesn't matter. I want to share a little bit about why the brain, and talk a little bit about the science of why the brain in particular really grapples with this holding on to an emotional mistake in people's reputation and struggles to let go of it. You can spend 87,600 hours of your life inspiring the world, which happens to be 10 years. And in one bad hour where emotion overwhelms you into an evil deed, all the good in the other 86,559 hours seem to get erased from history. Why does the brain emotionally spray dirt over the majority of a life due to a single mistake? Are we unable to separate the misstep from all the good steps? Yep, we're all guilty. Ever spent 8 beautiful hours of your day at work and someone bumped your car in the parking lot and you scream, "You idiot, you've ruined my day"? Or travel on a beautiful 10-day holiday, and have the baggage lost on the return home, and you break down and tell your partner, your holiday has been a complete disaster because of this. The truth is, no. Your day wasn't ruined. That couple moments was tarnished. Your holiday wasn't ruined. That moment. You enjoyed an incredible week and a half of sheer bliss. I've seen people go out on a date, and at the end of the date, the guy says something stupid like we always do. And then I hear women saying, oh my God, you ruined the date. No, you ruined the moment in that moment. I want to unpack it. It's incredibly important that we understand this as it relates to reputations. Consider for a moment just how quick 10 or 20 years of good work is destroyed. From Bill Clinton to Bill Cosby to Oscar Pistorius to many more, they're horrible social injustices, which in most cases, if you add up the total time they did wrong, will be no more than 48 hours of wrong. Sometimes it's 10 minutes of wrong. But these 48 hours have wiped out thousands of hours of good. All the philanthropic work, all the mentoring, helping the disabled, inspiring millions of disadvantaged people, all seemingly washed away or even obliterated from our minds. And park that for a moment. Stay right here for a moment. Have you ever thought about how relationships that go on for years and years and one mistake seems to literally overwhelm the mind and the entire nervous system? You can no longer even see that person the same. I'm just literally amazed at how many times a married couple who've experienced 40 years of bliss, raising kids, sending them to college, and traveling the world together, building homes, and doing their bit to make the world a better place, they decide that it's over after a 30-minute moment of infidelity. What's more fascinating is the inability of the good that occurred in the 39 years to keep the emotional pain at bay. Stay with me for a moment. The 39 years of good seems like it would build up into the brain in a way that would be able to override mistakes. We know we're going to make mistakes. In fact, when you got into the relationship, if someone had asked you on day one, do you think this person will make a mistake? No matter how much he loves you, no matter how much she cares about you, do you think she will make a mistake in the next 40 years? I'm sure you would say yes. But the moment that mistake happens, you literally almost paralyze into the emotion. Do we really believe that one mistake speaks to the whole character? Why is the brain wired this way? Well, psychologist and Nobel laureate behavioral scientist Daniel Kahneman really helps us understand this in a very high-level way. And I want to emphasize why this is so important as it relates to reputations, and it's going to help you go out there and deal with your issue around your reputation. And I've seen that understanding this helps me approach every circumstance in my personal and my public life differently because I actually understand it. So follow me. Kahneman frames this emotional weakness of focusing so much on the moment and ignoring the other 95% under this idea of your remembering self versus your experiencing self. Your remembering self and your experiencing self are different. Here's how it works. In essence, he explores how our memory or an emotional moment, that 5 minutes, that 5% out of the 100%, that emotional moment, paints a picture about the entire event based on the emotions we feel at the end. His research explains how we see the world through our remembering self, rather than through an accurate moment-by-moment account of actual experiences. Kahneman toys and pokes with the idea, saying, I am my remembering self, and the experiencing self who does my living is like a stranger to me. Here's what he's saying. Is that he's having fun with us. He's basically saying, we don't isolate our actual experiences and accumulate those into an identity and go, okay, this is what happened this morning. I had a beautiful morning. This is what happened at brunch time. I had this incredible brunch that tasted delicious. Then I had this wonderful drive to work. And then I had this incredible conversation. And then I had this moment where someone bumped my car in the evening. We don't do that. We go, you bumped my car, you ruined my day. And he's teasing us because it's actually quite silly. But because our emotions flare up in the moment, it's like a coloring, it's like a coloring brush, a paintbrush that goes and swipes a color of that emotion over the entire day. To ensure you manage this mental glitch, increase your emotional intelligence by stepping back and seeing the larger picture. We all make mistakes, things happen, and we will all continue making those mistakes, or different ones at least. But seeing the whole story versus the one tainted percent is important to healthy living. Remember, it's your emotions which create the illusion, and to see life through a more balanced lens, you must have the ability to master the emotions. And so, if there's this emotional weakness out there and people are going to hold on to this mistake you're going to make, the question is, how do we flip it and get control over it to such an extent that we can rebuild our reputations? Our reputations are often standing in the way of our goals and dreams. And this is why I wanted to pursue this idea of rebuilding and reinventing yourself after you have some sort of reputational damage. If the team needs a leader who is known for being on time, and it's well known that you are always late, you would get overlooked for the leadership position. If you think reputation is not important, look no further than President Zuma. Like him or not, the international markets respond to South Africa based on how they see his capacity to lead, how they feel about the country's story and reputation. Consumer investment confidence often hinges on whether or not the international community feels secure in the country's leadership. Is this fair? The bigger question has to be, how do you personally use this to your advantage? If you know that your reputation has the potential to elevate you into the minds of those who have a stake in your future, then you can work towards building a reputation that aligns with where you really want to be. If you are new to your position, you are not known for anything yet, then decide what you want to be known for and then begin simply telling people. Be blunt. Put it out for everyone to see. This is who I am. This is what you can expect. At the end of your emails or in meetings or even if you are seeking a job, put in your CV that people can expect an innovative mindset or creative and full of integrity. Whatever it is, put it out there. Make it very, very clear. And the same applies when you're reinventing yourself or you're recovering from reputational damage. Be blunt about it. This is what I did, but this is who I am. I'm going to get a little bit deeper now. Stay with me. If you're rich or you're an icon or some sort of IT genius who can hack into the government accounts, then your reputation probably doesn't matter as much. But for the rest of us, building a fortress of credibility around your name is vital to attracting greater opportunities. It's time to align your reputation with your goals. There is no need to overthink this. Begin by sharing openly on all platforms, social media, email, CVs, etc., exactly what you want to be known for, and then deliver with everything you've got. If you make a mistake, suck it up and be prepared for the rebuilding journey. So how do we do this? I'm going to give you three tips in a moment because it's really, really important that we put some structure and a framework in place for this. But I hope you're getting that this idea that the brain wants to hold on to the emotion they felt. You hear me speak a lot about formulas and how the brain has formulas in our minds and why it is that when people see you, they go, me plus you equals something. And if that is me plus you equals commitment, and the moment they build that over the years, it's just like 5 + 5 = 10. That's called system one thinking. So we're wired for people to look at you and go, all right, when I see you in the office, it means you plus today equals my leader. And if you don't lead, what you're doing is you're creating a breakdown in the formula. And if you don't lead or you lead poorly and you go, me plus you equals I can't trust you, then that breakdown causes distrust, creates high levels of emotions, and paints a picture over the entire relationship, no matter how much good you've did. So this thing really boils down to breaking, having formulas broken is what a reputational damage is. It's broken formulas. So you've got to rebuild formulas in such in a way that you inspire new emotions. And oftentimes when you build these new emotions and you do it really, really well, it starts to recolor the picture, but that's not enough. So we're human, and since we're prone to make mistakes, why weren't we wired with a mental erase button? I've always found this interesting. Wouldn't it be really cool if somebody makes a mistake but you still love them, if you could just hit mental erase and forget about the mistake and remember everything else? Wouldn't it be cool if after all, if we let someone we love down, we had the capacity to apologize, learn from our mistakes, and then click this button? The question becomes, why are we designed in such a way that our missteps linger on our personal brands like the smell of rotten fish? The brain wants to operate efficiently. Our mental software programs stores reputation and associated emotions, then locks this paradigm and the formulas away and sort of throws away the key stored in our subconscious mind. This unwillingness to keep an open mind is a survival mechanism given to us in order to manage risk. When a dangerous looking animal runs towards you, your brain processor retrieves all the relevant information associated with this animal and communicates to your muscles so that you know whether or not to pet it or to run for your life. Similarly, we maneuver in society with the same level of unconscious abandon. If every single image we encounter had to be reassessed, our brains would overheat. Therefore, you have to work really hard if you want someone to retrieve the virtual key and unlock your personal reputation safe and begin reprogramming. Essentially, if you want somebody to reinvent you, to reinvent this emotional thing, if you want someone to think of you anew, if you want someone to consider that you're not that emotional moment and that your reputation deserves rebuilding, you've got to get them to go into their subconscious mind and find that key to begin unlocking this formulas. And this is where it gets really interesting. People are far too occupied with their own survival to easily accept the fact that your image and your reputation is changing and moving all over the place. To assess where you currently stand with your reputation, go through the following three steps. Firstly, I call it reputation gains. Which areas of your life have you made significant gains, and how can these gains be leveraged for partnerships, further insights, and promotion in the next chapter of your career? Basically, what have you been good at that people can expect from you? This is important because oftentimes you've made a mistake in a particular area, but people are not aware that you're brilliant in these other areas. And these other areas where you're really brilliant can help offset the emotional sort of scarring of where your reputational damage lies. So a specific example is, let's say I make a mistake in my relationship where I don't pay a bill on time and my partner gets upset because she's threatened or whatever. Then I can go and I can pull out all the other areas that I have been really, really good at, create the sort of emotional flow in those areas, and then I speak about how I'm going to proactively work on this other area. And as I'm building all of these sort of reputational gains into this piece of the pie, over time, if I'm consistent, it will start to sort of diffuse and recolor the issue. Secondly, I have what we call reputation neutrality. There are certain areas where you've remained constant. You haven't changed your behavior and continue with the same pattern, and ultimately, this has caused you not to grow. Be hard on yourself and change your mindset, then actions and ultimately new habits will form. So this neutrality space is interesting because essentially what I'm saying here is that you have to really challenge yourself and push yourself because you become so comfortable that you're really good at these things. And the fact that you haven't changed or grown, you've become complacent. So to jar yourself out of your complacency, You must challenge yourself and then go, these are my areas of neutrality. And lastly, you have reputation deficits. This area is what usually buries goals and dreams. This is the area that literally so many people have fallen into and they don't know how to get out of, which is ultimately the purpose of this entire podcast. If you ignore the negatives associated with your reputation, you'll find your personal brand drowning. If you have scars against your reputation, it's very challenging to rebuild, but it is possible. Seek help for online search engine optimization to clear up your virtual name as a one step. So, SEO engine search engine optimization has the ability, if you get the right sort of people, and there are plenty out there nowadays, you can almost do it yourself. But essentially what you want to do, if somebody Googles your name and something bad comes up, let's say you were caught doing something or something bad happened at work or you were fired or some sort of reputational issue, then what you want to do is move that down further so that on the first couple of pages when people Google you, they don't see it. So don't overthink it. Get help with this so you can focus on your own career. Just search SEO help, reputational help. And there are plenty of people out there who work on this sort of issue. To deal with people who are on your team or in your community who see you as negative, decide firstly if they even matter. If they do, share with them your new approach and be consistent. Eventually, the new you will outweigh the old you if you are consistent. Suggest to them that this is what happened. This is why this minor misstep happened. And this is what I'm doing. I'm working really hard in these areas. And this is how me and my new approach is going to benefit you. One of the big secrets in terms of rebuilding your reputation is showing how your new efforts are going to impact the people who hold your reputational damage. And here's what I find interesting. That you may say, okay, I don't care about any of this stuff. But chances are, if you've listened this far, you do care. And our reputations are held in other people's minds. If you lived on an island by yourself, there wouldn't be any need for a reputation. Former U.S. President Bill Clinton is a great example. After his scandal with Monica Lewinsky, he continued doing exceptional work. And while people may still remember, he is now known for the philanthropy and his global work around the world to make the world a better place. And consistency over time, excellence over time, doing groundbreaking things, doing something where you're the first at it, is one of the biggest ways to repair your reputation. If you go out and you do something and you communicate that I'm the first to do this, or you do something to help people where you're the first to be able to pioneer in a particular area, this sort of high level of emotional shifting really helps get people to channel their energies in a different direction. And over time, the brain starts to make new connections, and those new connections form in what the brain calls an assembly. And this assembly has a lot of excitable energy, and it helps offset the old associations in the brain, which is where your reputational damage lies. If you have more, and I can go through a very strategic conversation with you about this if you want help with me one-on-one, email me info@timothymaurice.com. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E, info@timothymaurice.com, or you can email me timothymaurice@gmail if you prefer a Gmail. But thank you again for listening to this episode of around repairing your reputation and rebuilding your brand reputation. I really appreciate you tuning in. You can also follow me on Twitter @TimothyMaurice. Thank you so much for listening to Cliff Central Unbranded on iTunes. It really means a lot. We'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded. CliffCentral.com.